Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebonor. At your door, on the floor, always got more. Mama's favorite little whore. Okay, that's not funny. All right, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? Today's episode is still recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 16, 2025. Today's episode is still and also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, I'm pointing at you. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right. Who stuck around? Okay. For those of you who stuck around, I want to send a shout out to all you great, beautiful listeners out there, all right? Just look in the mirror and applaud your beautiful selves. All right, and if this is your first time listening, I also applaud yourself, but on behalf of me and Shut Up Podcast, welcome. You can't tell, but the sound is super loud in my headphones, and I am not sure. Might need a time for a producer. A reminder that website address is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. All right. Today's episode is titled, today's working title is 241, During and After. And once again, what the fuck is that sound? Hold on a second. Sorry, gang. There's like a ding sound, and I don't know if that's me. Whatever. Okay. Hold on a second. Do I have something running in the background? I hate that. It's not a... Nope. It's not... let me just close shit that I don't need. I'm just hearing them. Okay. Don't need Netflix. All right, okay. Well, here's hoping there's some poltergeist shit. All right, okay. Where was I? What was I saying? Today's episode titled, yes, During and After. I'm again going to talk about Kendrick and the halftime show. What's that? You covered that already? How long? It's been, let me look at the calendar. It's been, I forgot what the halftime show was. It's been a week, yes. Yeah, I'm still talking about it. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. Yeah, today's episode, Kendrick, that's what he does to you, man, is I am going to talk about how my favorite part of the halftime show happened during and after. Actually, it's more after, but you know, whatever. I'll clear that up when... in the future thought. But before we get to that, let's do a bit of quote and some randomness. Let's get out the way. All right, get that out the way. Okay, so first quote goes, the more you love your decisions, the less you need others to love them. Second quote, make sure I'm doing this in order, by the way. Yeah, okay. Don't ever let someone make you feel guilty because they are suffering the consequences of their own actions. Oh, shit. There goes that first cough. Okay. Second quote goes, what you're not going to do is let miserable people who really don't like themselves push that energy on you. Oh, my God. Say it again. Agreed. Okay. This one is more of a skeet, as in something someone posted on. Someone followed me on sent me a follow request on Skeet, and the name is Create the Ripple, and I remember being confused because you know sometimes on Blue Skies you're like, who the, you know, you follow someone back and next thing you know they want to sell you some Amway, but this beautiful soul reached out, I followed back, and first tweet that popped was in the morning, and it said, "This is the message I got to me." It goes, it's a picture of the globe drawn by a child, and it goes, "You belong here." And he simply goes, "Hey, I'll read the whole thing." He goes, I long, as does every human being, to be at home wherever I find myself." Maya Angelou. And the message goes, "You belong, not because of where you are, but because of who you are." The reason this one hit home or reached my soul is because it was a portion of my life. Actually, no, a recent history. I was trying to convince myself. I was convincing, before I went into therapy, I was convinced that I was not meant to be part of this world. Because just the way I reacted to the bullshit that went on in the world, I'm like, fuck. I wish I could be heartless like everyone else or fake pretend like I gave a fuck. But I remember believing that my being an empath or giving a fuck about the bullshit goes on in the world made you weak. All this to say that I appreciated this message. You know, every once in a while someone will post shit that will reach your soul and sometimes they'll never know it. Anyway, all right, okay. Last quote. And this one really relates to what I'm going to touch on in at the end in the featured thought. And it goes, art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time. There's more. I'm going to read the whole thing. It goes, art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time. The mind that responds to the intellectual and spiritual values that lie hidden in a poem, a painting, a piece of music, discovers spiritual vitality that lifts it above itself, takes it out of itself, and makes it present to itself on a level of being it did not know it could ever achieve. Anyways, the author of that quote is Thomas Merton. I guess No Man is an Island. Is that a book? Whatever. Thomas Merton. All right, fine. Yep, it is a book. All right. And, there's a part where he says, God damn it, where'd it go? Sorry. In a poem, painting, a piece of music, or a halftime show. Like I said, I will bring this up. I will, this relates to what I'll be talking about in feature thought. All right, now we got quotes out of the way. Let's do some randomness, quick randomness. Okay, let me start with this TikTok clip that's so apropos. Oh shit, wait. I don't know if I can play the song. Here we go, one, two, three. Canada. 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 I just realized I forget that. All right, you guys can't see what I'm looking at. Links are in the show notes. By the way, gang, that's a reason why I put the links in the show notes is because. Sorry, where the fuck is all this dust coming from? I need to fix this. All right, okay. What was I saying? The video is content creator name is Lufori. and the caption he writes, "Send me back to Ghana," and the video starts with him, you know, enjoying himself in a club, and then it transitioned to him in cleaning snow off his car and in his driveway. And my point is, it's been fucking snowing a lot in the 613, folks. I'm sure it's snowing in Toronto, Montreal, but who gives a fuck? I'm worried about myself. Still at it. The beauty there is, the one thing I love about these snowy days is staying indoors. staying warm indoors, and having justified reasons to not go out. It's like, oh, sorry, cancel the plan. Unfortunately, I can't do that with work, but luckily, tomorrow's not an office day. If it was, holy shit, I'd be pissed. Because there's a lot of snow to clean up, and it's going to be cold tomorrow. Mm. By Canadian standard, cold. Like, uncomfortably cold. But anyway, yeah, Canada. I used to have this joke about when Canada was taking in all these Syrian refugees, and then and the idea that they would land and then get out the door, you know, when we bring them in, you know, January, February, and they're like, "Fuck that!" Like, had one of those, what, one of them said, "Fuck that, send me back to my war torn country." I've been like, "Okay, this is not normal," but nope, all of them stuck around. So I guess winter is not worse than war. So privileged, eh? Yeah, part of living in Canada is not knowing how good you got it. All right, next one. Okay, now this one is I'm gonna give myself a little. Yay! What, Be Black? What are you celebrating? Okay, yeah, no, I finally through work and perseverance, I finally got my website shutuppodcast.com to a state I want it to be in, which is simple and to the freaking point. So right now, if you go to shutuppodcast.com, you get a simple, pure HTML page. No fucking WordPress bullshit. No Elementor or a bunch of technology I've never heard of. No, it's back in the days, old school HTML with a little bit of PHP. And all you got is it's a black page that loads. My logo, name of the podcast, what is it? The motto? Is it motto or whatever for the show, which is, it's a safe space for my thoughts. And then an embedded iframe. Shout out to all you ladies out there who are like turned on by this technical jargon, an embedded iframe of the Castos players. And in there, that's where the latest episode should pop up in there. And I even added some logic in there so it updates itself automatically. I'm looking forward to publish this episode, and then just to see it update itself automatically. And at the bottom, it just links to social media. But it's fucking simple as fuck. I'm going to add some features later, but right now it's at the state that I want it to be in. Now, granted, it may not look good in your. I haven't tested it in on my cell phone. Let me see. Still doesn't load. You know why? Because it's fucking cached. I'm sure there's a way to clear the cache, but this motherfucker's not cooperating. Anyway, doesn't matter. But again, I'm proud of myself. Follow your dream, kids. That's the whole point. Follow your dreams, kids. All right. Especially those dreams that you procrastinated on. I guess I should give a shout out to ChatGPT generative AI. Is that what the word they use? Whatever, man. And no, it's not an advertisement, but I do like how we have these tools. Part of why I procrastinate is the idea is stuck in my head. And the beauty is when you can bounce ideas off someone or something. Like, that's what the usefulness of this tool. If you're one of those people who are like procrastinate because the idea is just, you don't know where to start, you're just like, you're overwhelmed with everything you can do as opposed to just starting, it's like a good executive assistant. That's what I'm trying to say. To an executive assistant, you could say, hey, I'm fresh of ideas. I don't know what to do with this fucking site. All I know is I want this shit to be simple. And then it's like, okay, let's go start with the basics. And the basic got me to where I am. Anyway, you can't tell, but I'm... Hold on a second. This comes up. I'm going to have to make myself some lemon and ginger tea. Yeah, where was I? What was I saying? Yeah, I'm proud of myself. That's just what I say, man. Celebrate. This is like my entry in my gratitude journal. So, ladies and gentlemen, celebrate your small victories. Yay! help to have yourself a little soundtrack or a little sound thingy, sound effect thingy, so you can pat yourself on the back. All right, let me play this beautiful clip by James Baldwin about an idea that I thought that I came up with, but turns out you've been thinking about a long time ago, and it's how white people deserve a month or a period of time dedicated to their history. So James Baldwin, thoughts on White History Week. Here we go.
Modest proposal. White History Week. And one of the things, I'm not joking when I talk about White History Week, one of the things that most afflicts this country is that white people don't know who they are or where they come from. And that's why you think I'm a problem. But I am not the problem. Your history is. And as long as you pretend you don't know your history, you're going to be the prisoner of it. And there's no question you're liberating me, because you can't liberate yourselves. We're in this together. And finally, when white people, quote-unquote white people, talk about progress in relationship to black people, all they are saying and all they can possibly mean by the word progress is how quickly and how thoroughly I become white. I don't want to become white. I want to grow up, and so should you. Thank you.
Powerful thought by the great James Baldwin. You know what? This is going to be part of my
You Must Learn.
Because it is February, man. If you haven't learned shit about Black History Month, are you racist? Take the time to learn some shit, because you're not going to do it the rest of the year. Am I talking to black people or white people when I say that? Hey, whatever, man. You must learn. But I'm not going to add to this what this brilliant man just said, because he said it perfectly. I was just thinking about when I was in school, because I grew up with white people, and when I was having my black awakening period, and one of my white friends were, because it kept pissing me off. One of my white friends were, what if this black history shit gets on you, okay, it makes you mad? Maybe you should stop learning it. How about, whatever. All right, okay. Next one is, all right, okay, just to warm up to the final thought is someone on Reddit posted. Okay, I was on a journey to understand everything that I missed from the halftime show. So, of course, I Googled it, because Google is my friend. And I came across this article that goes, Kendrick confused MAGA with Black Beauty. Links are in the show notes. I'll let you read it for yourselves. I'll tell you what, I'll read the first paragraph. He goes, as a person of Afro-Caribbean descent, relate, I'm heartened, like heart, by what I saw at the Super Bowl tonight. You see, when our ancestors were stolen from Africa and placed under the control of white enslavers, the slave masters sought to dominate every aspect of our lives. They stripped away anything they believed could empower us to rise up. They took our drums, but they could never take our spirit. You know what? Okay, so he goes on and talks about how Calypso, how there's how black people have had to develop our own form of communication. And I like what he says into that. But, right. The real reason why I'm sharing this quote, because I'm telling you to read it yourself, but the real reason, my favorite part in this entire post is when he says at the end, keep your head up high, my people. And by my people, quote unquote, I mean anyone who stands with us in the fight for equality we seek. We will triumph in the end. A word of positivity. So I always say that, when I talk about allies, I'm talking about everyone dying in the trenches or being shot at in the trenches with us. Not hey, not because you got great dance skills, not because you know you know who James Baldwin is. Nah. White people hate you. White people hate you as much as they hate us. Maybe not as much, but they're like, fuck. White people consider you a traitor. That's now you're an ally. And you know what? I got to tell you, it's a lonely road being a white person who's like, because some black folks, it might take time to accept you, but I'm just saying that makes you an ally. Even if some of you might struggle with, I'm being a friend. I mean, the human experience. Anyways, what I was trying to say, another reason why this post resonated for me is because of how I felt like every white person who was like, yo, man, halftime show was trash or sucked or whatever, had a negative opinion about Kendrick's performance at the Kendrick show at the halftime show. It reminded me of, it'd be like a white person being like, yo, can you sing a different song but Wade by the Water? I'm tired of that song. It sucks. It's got no beat to it. And I'm like, you know what I mean? It's like, motherfucker, it wasn't meant for you, but, you know, white people, it's like, yeah, what do you mean it's not meant for me? Everything is about me. Ha! The white man's got a God complex. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it, man. All right. Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe I feel this is a quick quote and randomness in record time. All right, let's jump into news and random thoughts. But before we do so, we're going to take a quick break. All right, a word from our sponsors. And I'm back. Back in black. Back in black. Hold on.
I'm back.
Corny. All right, I'll do some research later. Okay. Let me start with a quick my last visit to the barbershop was great. I didn't think, because I'm past hearing bullshit opinions on people's other people's opinion on Kendrick's show, halftime show, even though I've been on social media ingesting it. But I burnt my head. Oh my God. Yeah, well, my eardrums are like, playing that sound effect was really loud, and I think I just burst my eardrums. All right, fuck it, going out like Beethoven. All right, what was that? Yes, I was at the barbershop trying to avoid talking about the performance and the halftime show performance because I didn't want to hear any difference of opinion. Meaning, be with God, all right? I've accepted that some people didn't like it, but I'm not in that category, and I don't want to explain myself to you. I don't want to argue with you. I just go with you. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do, and I'll stick to mine. But in this particular fashion, in this particular moment, I feel like we had a beautiful. I'm gonna call it beautiful. I'm gonna even use the word. Is it adjective? Beautiful. Yeah. To describe the moment at the barbershop where we were three people discussing the halftime show, and all three of us had one thing in common. The initial show went over our head. I'm not trying to, no, and no disrespect, I'm saying this is like praises to Kendrick because he's a genius, but I think the commonality in our opinion is the fact that that initial show went over our head. And I feel like, and then, so one guy was like, he didn't say that's the reason, but he was like, I didn't like the show, yada, 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 it should be this, he's not known by everyone, blah, whatever, all kinds of stuff. Second guy, I'm not going to identify, actually, I'll give you the two extreme, because the second guy was kind of in the middle between the both of us. I was like, yes, it went over my head, but I know when it comes to Kendrick, if it went over your head, it's in your interest to do some research and look it up and figure out what you missed. It went over your head, it's because some shit you missed. And it's worth doing the research. It's worth finding out what you missed. And, and the third guy was just in the middle. And even though the guy with the opposite opinion was like, you know, I was like, this is why you're wrong. I respected it. And I even told him that, you know, this black dude. I said, there's a difference between you, a rap fan, who, sure, he's a Trump supporter, but that's another story. A rap fan saying, I didn't like it, meaning if I'm taking a server, I will register that opinion. Boom. But if you're like some fucking white hick, 50-year-old, French-Canadian, all of you, but like if you're really, really far from the target audience, from the people meant to understand it, I'm not even bothering. What's like, as far as I'm concerned, your response is predictable. As far as I'm concerned, your response is part of the art. It's part of the performance. Meaning, Kendrick did his show, and the reaction to it, I feel, is part of the show. I'll try to explain in a bit what I mean by that. You know, I should have written this down, but whatever. Okay. All right. So the reason I say sometimes I think the reaction, the response, especially the way I've been feeling, how I went from shit went over my head to, oh my God, he's a genius. Oh, this is dope. It wasn't just the moments of, oh my God. It was also a lot of realization and clarity from myself. But my favorite one in all my realization is, let me write that. Oh, okay, let me read real quick. I said, my favorite portion of the halftime show was after, because I learned and realized it got some clarity, which relates to that quote that I read earlier that goes, art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time. Thomas Merton. Just give me a second. I'm going to sip this. Lemon and ginger tea. These are sensitive mics. I apologize for all the mouth noise. For those who are sensitive about that kind of stuff, like me. But I'm trying to, something's in my throat. Something's in my throat, and it's tickling my throat. Sorry, I'm laughing because of my immature side. It's probably because you finished sucking off your fisherman's friend. All right, okay. All right, yo, man, the jokes that I make are not jokes that I would make at the barbershop. You die for that shit. Oh, I would not make around dudes who are, like, insecure about their, or who won't admit that they're questioning their sexuality and shit like that bothers them. The fuck, what you gotta say that gay shit, man? Fuck, are you trying to, change me? You trying to change me into a fisherman's friend? Sorry. Okay, sorry. Grow the fuck up. All right. where was I? Yes. Everything that happened. Okay, so one of my favorite moment of realization is, I'm gonna tell you a story about low self-esteem. It's a story about myself, but I'm going to use a white coworker as the, it's not a story. It's more an explanation, right? I'm going to use a white coworker because even though this happened, what I'm about to explain has happened throughout my entire life and involved all kinds of people, black, white, family, relatives, strangers, whatever, right? I remember having the moment of, wait a minute. And here's the explanation, right? Low self-esteem. It's very common. Bear with me, because a lot of you who could relate to this shit this shit's gonna resonate. You're talking to someone, right? You're talking to someone. Communication involves a speaker and a listener, right? And let me just get to the point. You're talking to someone. This white coworker was in the habit of, I would tell him something and he would hear it. And if I didn't package it, the message, in a way that he understood it or he could process, he would reject it. Okay, no, it's even more shallow than this. It's more, I'm making a point, bear with me. What I'm trying to say is we were constantly in the habit of, I would say something. It could be about my weekend. It could be a complicated concept about blackness, whatever, right? But if he didn't understand it, the automatic assumption is I fucked up as the speaker. And even worse, I would internalize it and believe that either A, I need to use better words to explain this to him, or B, the idea that I'm trying to explain to this person is invalid, or it's bullshit, or it's whack. Now, maybe I should also establish that this particular person, is the word revered, I had high regards for their intelligence, because they read a lot of books. So I assume because they read books, I figured that they were smarter than me. So if they didn't understand it, it was like, it's like talking to your teacher, and if your teacher didn't understand it, then A, try again, or B, give up. But I remember, after constant back and forth with this person, having a moment where, did you actually listen to what I said? Like, at what point does the listener take responsibility for the reason why the message didn't get through? So like I said, I would always assume it was my fault as the speaker for not properly presenting the information. But this asshole, because I was starting to notice patterns, like, he's the guy who, like, you'll send a heartfelt message, and he'll come back, well, it's the, not there. It's there, you know. It's there, not there. Oh, or I remember, you know, oh, too many spelling mistakes. Reject. Now, the self-esteem, and I want to be clear, it's not, I mean, as frustrating as I am as that person, but I am also realizing the self-esteem part in me was the fact that the assumption I made that I guess what I have to say has no value. You know what I mean? You follow what I'm saying? It's communication takes a listener and a speaker and a listener. Speaker is responsible for presenting the idea, encoding the message, and saying it out loud. And the listener, like, what's their responsibility? And like I said, it's not just with him that I've had this problem before. It was just with him that I started to pay attention. I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like I'm putting more work into this shit than you are. And also, because he's white, it also made me realize that the reason why he wasn't understanding any topics that involve blackness is because he didn't want to. Which you can't control. So him as the listener, he would just reject it. Where I'm going with this is because it made me realize it made me think about some of the criticism or the hate Kendrick has been getting. Okay. And specifically how, because I'm thinking about that moment in the barbershop, how one guy saw Kendrick's presentation and just flat out not feeling it. Me and the other guy were like, okay, we understand there's an essence in rap where sometimes you gotta do the work. You gotta put in the work. Like, we all grew up, I'm gonna judge, me and the other guy are like true hip-hop fans. Because I remember growing up on hip-hop and people trashing it. And when people were just like, oh, it's just ignorance. It's just like fucking yo, yo, yo. Okay. White people's rendition. It's just yo, yo, yo on a beat. I remember when hip-hop was not considered an intelligent or an art form. But to us, we felt it. I'm thinking of a line by Jay-Z on the track Renegade when he says, how do you rate music that thug relate to? What's the actual line? And it's on one end, you got the magazines, the critics, the big names saying, oh, this rap is bullshit. But on the other end, you got the thugs, people from the hood, people, whatever, the people. You got another demographic that's like, yo, that shit saved my life. Oh my God, this dude is articulating my reality. I still remember when Kendrick's, what's that album called? QNX? GNX? what's the name? Because I'm trying to be one of those podcasts with accurate information. Kendrick Lamar, latest album was called GNX. Yeah, I was right. What's QNX is the operating system, right? Yes, it is. Shout out to us nerds. Okay. All right. So I remember when Trump was reelected feeling fucking depressed. And then Kendrick's GNX album came out. And I had a sense of everything's going to be all right. I don't know. There's something about that album that I'm not sure. You know, Black and I'm Proud. There was no. But there was something about the timing of his album that was just like Pac said, Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. It was inspiring. There's something that brought up my moral, and it was a reminder of who Kendrick makes this music for. So, I'm going to play this TikTok clip. I guess what I'm loving about Kendrick's halftime performance is a reminder to all us creators. You can't please everybody. You're going to just accept that there's going to be a group that's not going to feel your shit. You know what's amazing is I remember during my days of hanging out with pickup artists, and try to pick up chicks, try to pick up girls. But the realest thing someone ever said to me was, bro, you're just going to have to accept that some girls ain't going to feel you. Rejection is part of the game. It's not the end. It's like there's going to be a girl who like, oh, man, you're too tall. You're too dark. You're too this. You're too Haitian. Canada. What the fuck? You speak French? You speak English? English is your second. You know, it just is what it is. And it made me realize that my ego, like that was my struggle. My ego, for some reason, refused to accept that even though that shit is scientifically proven, even though that what they're saying is accurate, true, my ego could not accept that shit. But getting back, as I'm looking at the negative feedback, despite the fact that I'm enjoying this shit, but the negative feedbacks that Kendrick's been getting, it was a reminder that, yo, you can't please everybody. I love about the, which by the way is a song by Kendrick, and it's called was it Crown? Let me make sure. Kendrick Lamar. Crown. Can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. Oh no, not that. That's not what I want. Sorry, I clicked on the wrong leg. Let me try to recite some poetry. And I can't please everybody. And I can't please everybody. Wait, you can't please everybody. You walk around like everything is in control. Favor come with favors. You can't say no. Go out the way to make the coin available. You're just giving charity. That's what I call love. That's what I call love. As in, you're obligated to do that. The closest one afraid to say they need some time. The turnaround is life or death, but you don't mind. Go out the way to say you made the compromise. That's what I call love. My point is, you can't please everybody. I'm saying this to myself, not preaching, but I'm saying this to myself. If I could get, maybe it's going to be a challenge for me, but if I can get myself to a part where I can say that, yo, some people ain't going to feel this podcast. Just accept it and just focus on those who will. That'd be an accomplishment for myself. That'll be my next, that'll be like, you know, you think I'm proud of what I did with the website? This would be a bigger deal for me. Same goes for comedy. Actually, what's funny is with comedy, it was easier to accept. It's because I was, I guess I believed in myself, in my ability to make people laugh. I mean, it's still work in progress. But it was the one time where I was feeling good about, confident about myself. I was willing to accept that, yeah, some people are going to feel it. Even to the point where I knew that, yo, if I start doing comedy and the only people laughing are a bunch of white people and no black folks, I quit. I had to take a sip on that tea. I'm going to look up, why the fuck is, I'm having an allergic reaction to something in this room and I have no idea what it is. It's driving me nuts. Use an air purifier. I got it, but whatever. Maybe I need a new filter. Where was I? Yeah, can't please everybody. I love that realization. It's easier for me to say it than it is to do it, but yes, reminding myself, Kendrick reminded me that you can't please everybody. Another thing that I realized on that same theme of speaker and listener, how the listener has a responsibility to, like, process the message, and if they give a fuck, they will actually listen to you. By the way, this is why I make a big deal out of you listeners. Now, I know it's not everybody, but I know there's a listener out there who is like, I know what that nigga's talking about. That's who I want to hear from. Anyway, all right. So on that same theme of and not being able to please everybody, I'm realizing that when I prepare for these shows or when I write an email or write a letter, and I imagine this is a trauma response, but I focus a lot of attention on how it's going to be interpreted, more on how it's going to be interpreted than what I'm trying to say. Like, in my mind, I can picture what I'm trying to say, but then I automatically think of the person who's going to reject the message. And what I'm realizing is, in order to put on a show like Kendrick did, or to get to the level that Kendrick is, you got to believe in your heart and just ignore the haters, or just accept the haters are going to be there, but let them treat them like mosquitoes, man. It's like, keep it moving. Because haters are going to fucking hate, man. There's some motherfuckers out there. There's one particular influencer on TikTok. Badmouthing Kendrick. Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, it's way too obvious, right? And I'm looking at, she's got a lot of followers. And I'm like, huh. What would you do? What would you be talking about if Kendrick had done that halftime show? What would you be hating on? But my point is, she's got an audience for it. So I believe the word is that irony? She's hating on Kendrick, but Kendrick's halftime show, but yet that halftime show, her content speaking against the halftime show is giving her an audience. So yeah, getting back to what I'm saying. Yeah, I learning to focus on what I'm trying to say and less on how people are going to react to it. I mean, sure, I want a positive reaction, but can't please everybody. On that note, I want to send a shout out to all you beautiful plus size bottles out there for believing in yourselves. Because I think about that same analogy. It's like, I got a thing for plus size bottles. You can't tell. But I look at them, right, as I'm enjoying it, you know, I'm getting ready to unzip myself and getting myself acquainted. You know, for science, you're disgusting. It's my goddamn podcast. All right. As I'm going to appreciate that image, I do think about all the assholes they had to go through to had to deal with. All the, oh, you're too fat, or you're too this. Oh, what do you think you do? You know, all these good-for-nothings, all these people who ain't got shit going on in their lives, sitting behind their keyboard and just, like, trolling you. God bless you for weathering the storm so that my eyes could be gifted by your looks. I mean, I'm sure you did it for your own reasons, but still, I'm grateful that you didn't let the haters get to you, or that you accepted that you can't please everybody. You know, I think that's going to be the title of today's episode. I'm going to all the realization that happened throughout the week. There's this one particular TikTok influencer. Okay, same one, right? Actually, that's how much she got on my nerves. No, there's a lot of, like, pseudo intellectuals on TikTok talking about how Kendrick is wrong for performing at the Grammy because capital, I don't know, whatever fucking theory they got, but he's no real revolutionary with your broke ass. Anyway, whatever. And, it's funny after hearing one of them, pure coincidence, I go to listen to some Kendrick and Savior by Kendrick comes on. And I love that line. It's like, he is not your savior. I'm not your savior. Look, I love that honesty. It's like, there's a part of the verse where he talks about how compassionate capitalist, full of shit, or the what do you call it? What's the word he used? Fuck. Basically, I felt like it was a perfect response to all these pseudo-intellectual gaining likes and followers talking shit about how Kendrick is like a black capitalist working against his people and how all the things that he should be doing, all the things that they would be doing, said influencer, if they had Kendrick's talent. Sure, give it a try. All right, let me go through the list here. Again, this will be in the show notes. Multipass 11 1.15 release. All right, thank you. B, you should turn off the notifications on your computer, but how will people know that I'm a popular person? I mean, I get... All right, okay. Yes. Oh, right, okay. One of my favorite moments in this week, I was around a gang of white people at work, right? I was around some white people, and they started to talk about how much they hated the show. How much they hate. Yeah, fucking halftime show. And you know what I did? I shut the fuck up. I kept my mouth shut. Hold on a second.
Salutations! It's your Uncle Sam. And this is the Great American Game.
All right, okay. This is actually Samuel Jackson rehearsing before, right? But I remember as I was struggling to keep it together and not say shit, as much as I wanted to jump in, I knew I was in at the barbershop. I was at work, and I'm hearing these white people talk smack about the Kendrick show. And I'm proud of myself for not saying a goddamn word. But as I was, like, keeping it together, because I've given up trying to save white people. Two, talking to white people about race. Figure it the fuck out. Google is your friend. No more, well, why this, why that? No. Come with the answers and then we'll talk. Because the answers is already there. Don't ask me preliminary questions. Anyways, so as they were blah, 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 blah. Yo, can you, this is, you should get complete, whatever, right? Whatever. They would say all kinds of shit. This line by Samuel Jackson kept playing in my head.
No, 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 no! Too loud! Too reckless! Too ghetto! Mr. Lamar, do you really know how to play this game? Then take me out!
Damn, that's good. All right. I think that was it. Let me see what the other thing that he says. I think it was this one, but let me see what else is he said. He says,
"Damn, that's good."
Ah, I see you brought your homeboys with you. The old culture cheat code. Scorekeeper, deduct a life. That's what America wants.
That's it.
Nice and calm.
This is it.
Ah, you're almost there. Don't mess this up.
Now remember, my name is B Black. I'm a sensitive soul. I've snapped for less. And I'm hearing these white folks talk smack about the show, saying some ignorant shit. In my mind, I'm like, you racist crackers. But the whole time, Samuel Jackson was in my head talking about don't mess this up. Because if I speak up, I risk having them either A, having them being, oh, you're one of them. Or B, entertaining these white people, trying to explain shit that they're never going to understand. Like, they're likely going to go with their grade, to their grave believing what they believe. And there's shit I could do about it. I feel very strongly about it because I used to waste my time trying to help white people understand racism. And that shit was just a form of entertainment to them. And it just drained me. There's a clip I was going to play. I took it out, but earlier in randomness, if I find it, I'll save it for the next episode. But the brother had was just talking about anti-blackness. He says, "Yo, what does a German engineer, an Indian baker, all kinds of different nationality, all kinds of professions, what do you think they all have in common? Very likely a sentiment of anti-blackness." And then he further goes, he uses the word how it's exhausting. But yes, it is exhausting. So much, I was near death. I was that fatigue was enough for me to be like, I give up. I'm feeling that fatigue as a black person. I can only imagine what it's like to be black and a woman, black and trans, black and... Is it handicap? Hold on, let me. You gonna be politically correct? Hold on a second. Black and a dwarf. Handicapped. Is that the word? Oh, it's offensive now. Is it okay to use the word handicap? Because we're gonna learn shit on this podcast. When possible, to refer to a person's specific condition, AP style, disabled. Yeah, disabled is described as a general term for physical. Yeah, black and disabled. I'm a male, and I was feeling that frustration. Anyway, I'm on the long list of things that I've cut out for my life, and it's just explaining it to white people. I'm saying this because I can picture a few of them going, "Well, aren't we friends?" Yeah, Joe. Fucking mine. I'm budgeting my energy. If you really wanted to know, you'd figure it out. Anyways, so yeah, that realization of Sam Jackson in my head saying, "Don't mess this up," playing the character of Uncle Sam, "Don't mess this up." I knew I was playing the game. And it made me realize that it wasn't just a halftime show. It wasn't the halftime show. It's everything afterwards. These realizations. That's what I go for, but that's what, yeah, makes it powerful, man. Like, I felt like I was part of Kendrick's performance, holding it in, not saying shit, and resisting the urge to like choke one of the motherfuckers to death. What's that you said about Kendrick? What's that? Huh, motherfucker? What you said about black people, huh? All right. I ain't saying anything about black people. I just said about the show. You're saying something. You diss Kendrick, you're dissing blackness. All right. What else do I got? Yes, another realization is, how long is this clip? I'm going to play it. Oh, no, I'm going to put it in the show notes, but.
This video is for Samuel Jackson and Samuel.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes, 42 seconds. Okay, yeah, we're getting close to the end. All right, okay. I'll let you check it out at the end. The content creator's name is Cindy Noir. Come on, pronounce Noir in English. Is it Noir? Or whatever. The Cindy Noir. And she speaks a heartfelt shout out to Samuel Jackson. And especially how she links his presence at the Super Bowl in front of Donald Trump, speaking some black shit, and the fact that he was one of the pallbearer for Martin Luther King. It's like, it's got folks feeling emotional over it. So, yeah, that's powerful, man. Another, okay, all right, this I will play, okay, even though we're over time, but another profound interpretation or reaction to Kendrick's performance. And I gotta say, this one is the most profound one, mainly because this dude is like near tears explaining it. And it had me thinking of Tupac's line, "So many tears." And here it goes. I'll let him break it down for you. Now remember, you can't see his face, but just know he's emotional about this.
Scrolling the FYP, and of course the Kendrick stuff is coming my way. I'm gonna tag this creator in the caption, but she made it clear to me that when he did Man at the Garden, That was his dad homies behind him, his angels, all throughout the performance. So I just rewatched it for the first time. Only time I saw the performance was Sunday. He said there were 10 people behind him and then 6 lampposts, and I didn't notice until this rewatch that it was a homie on each lampost throughout the whole show. Their only job was to sit there and watch over him.
Goddamn.
I'm trying real hard. That's going to get me emotional, bro. Because I cannot stress enough, if you ain't from this, you ain't going to get it, bro. If you ain't lose nobody to the senseless killing, you ain't going to get it. Oh, God. And then the other 10, so 6 were on the light post, and the other 10, I'm going to try to get through this, man. And the other 10 were behind and making the beat on the test, and you know, the dough. And they cheesing the whole time with the grill, but they making the beat. They doing the quartet of the dough. No, they supporting him. He got, oh God. He got his dead homie supporting him and watching over. Why? As I said, look up at these lampposts. I like to imagine the people I've lost watching over me, man. That's why hip hop ain't something to play with, bro. This ain't nothing to play with. Just on the phone with my boy today saying, I got a project coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. I know it's going to be on the internet. I want to cosplay. I want to dress like us. I want to talk like us. But you don't want what come with being from here. You don't want this. You don't want this. The results and the symptoms that come from being marginalized. The results of systematic and systemic oppression. 40 acres and a mule. This is deeper than rap. Don't come over to this culture and play with it. Don't you play with this.
Powerful. God damn. I got a sense of what he was saying after after reflecting on the song So Many Tears by Tupac, and realized I don't know what that's like. I'm trying to remember. Like, I've lost, I get emotional over tragedies overseas. But these are like actual people. Like the idea of, I'm going to another funeral. I just came back of one red. Like, it's losing them to senseless violence. I have no idea what it's like. And yet I've been exposed to it through these rap lyrics. But I just, to me, it was, wow, you lost a homie? That's cool. Nah, these are real tears. These are real shit. Okay, I'm going to go back to what I was saying about your responsibility as a listener. I remember people rejecting hip-hop not because they didn't understand it. And I guess that's what separates people like me from them, is the fact that even if I do have these moments of I don't understand it, I'll take the time, I'll put in the energy to understand it, because I know there's like a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. I think it's like white people culture. I'm gonna blame the English, right? When white people came to this continent and they saw the indigenous people there and they had their tradition, their first thought was savages. Not bothering to like, maybe these people can teach us something about the world we live in. Nope. First thought was, oh, they don't use knife and fork, savages. The fuck you mean? They acknowledge two genders. Fuck that. Savages. Beneath us. It's like, it reminds me of like, again, like I said, like that friend, or I'm not calling him a friend. I used to believe he was a friend. But he was like, too many spelling mistakes. You used a slang. You used a slang to make your point, so your point is irrelevant. I'm rejecting what you're saying, or I'll just make fun of the fact that, or you mispronounced a word in English. Yo, I used to remember feeling, again, this is a self-esteem thing more than it's a him thing, but I remember believing that I was stupid. That being around that dude made me feel so stupid, because I never felt like I had the right words or enough words in my vocabulary to express myself. I couldn't explain my thoughts right. Like, any thoughts that I had never made sense to him, so I believed that it didn't make sense to the world. only to realize that, wait, you speak more than one language, or, hey, this motherfucker has no imagination. You're trying to explain shit that requires, sure, he's an intelligent person, he's a knowledgeable person, but he's got zero imagination. Your ideas is not compatible. Like, it never occurred to me that my idea was not compatible or can't be explained to someone who's got no imagination. Imagine trying to shout out to Nas and I forget the name of the Marley. The song goes, can you imagine a color that you've never seen? How about trying to explain to someone, trying to describe a color that they've never seen to someone else? Well, it's going to take a lot of listening power, a lot of empathy, a lot of listening with purpose on their end for that to happen. If not, they're just going to diss it. Powerful, yeah. All right. What else do I got? There's a lot of clips that I don't care. Okay. Okay, this one is in French. I'm going to leave this. This one is in French. I go, I put in this comment section. I said, ce qui me fait rire dans tout cela, c'est le plus qu'ils sont éloignés du public cible, plus qu'ils ont à dire. And my point is this. It's in French. It's a station in... Hold on, let me see what the title says. Did we just read it? It goes... Halftime. Kendrick Lamar, est-il grand public? I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, that chick is on my... whatever. Sorry, focus, B. Essentially is Radio-Canada, ICI, Premier. They pretty much took a shitload of negative responses to the halftime show and just play it out. And this is in French, Quebec. My favorite one is this one asshole. He's like, well, he's saying this in French. I mean, sir, do you da 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 da? Je comprends rien, qu'est-ce qu'il dit? I'll translate. He says, I don't understand anything he's saying. And I'm like, yeah, because he's speaking in English, you dumbass. But it's interesting how all these white French Canadians, all the way in buttfuck nowhere Canada, Quebec, have shit to say about Kendrick and will take offense to being called racist, because the foundation of everything they're saying is based on that nigger has nothing that I need to hear. Homeboy is a Pulitzer Prize winner. I forgot about that. He's won Grammys. Fuck the NFL. You know, NFL, I think NFL is enjoying this, the fact that everyone's talking about it. But he's got all this substance, and they all like, he ain't got nothing to share. One white guy was like, oh, fuck, I was trying to enjoy some football, and next thing you know, a bunch of gangbangers have taken over my television. French Canadian. Anyway, my point is this. It brings up a deep-rooted anger that I have with French people in this country. It's the fact that they should be on our side. They should understand our reality. They should understand the art by Kendrick. Even if they don't like it, they should understand that. They should understand what I'm talking about. But instead, their whiteness, they're sticking to their whiteness, and they're like jumping in on the bandwagon of, what's this nigger talking about? This nigger shouldn't have been at the, what do you mean he's doing? Like, Black American are like an ethnic group within the United States. The same way French Canadian are like an ethnic group, an ethnic minority within the United States. You would think there would be allyship. You would think there'd be commonality. Nope. These white folks stick to their whiteness. And if they're angry at the world, it's because they're number two white people. They're still angry at the fact that they're looked down on by the English. That they lost a shitload of territory to the English. They had to compromise. They have to fight for their own cultures. But instead of finding commonality with the rest of us, it's like, I'm still going to hold on to this white supremacy shit. But whatever. What can you do? What the fuck can you do? Yeah, it kills me. It's like, the further motherfuckers were away from that target audience, the more people had something to say. Which is why I'm like, ears blocked. The last article that I'm gonna recommend reading is the Think Piece by my man Michael Harriot. I say my man. I mean one of my favorite authors, Michael Harriot. I don't know him personally, but I love his work, and I like how he pretty much says it well. He goes, "Why white people in stars didn't like Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl's performance?" Why white people asterisk didn't like Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl performance, and the asterisk means not all white people, some exclusion apply, void where caucasity prohibited. But it just speaks on fuck the noise, ignore the noise. I mean, the noise is going to be there. And yeah, his performance was a great tale of inspiration to why you should focus on your art and fuck the haters. Now, granted, I don't know how to balance that fuck the haters and accept constructive criticism, but I guess it just comes out to believing in your shit. I guess that's what it's all about. All right, with that said, I think that's it, man. Yeah, this concludes today's episode. Like always, I'm going to check out the show notes. Links are all in the show notes, and check out the other links. Other links kind of framed some of the stuff that I talked about. That's a little bit of my bibliography, and it's also a bit of, hey, you might like enjoy reading this or checking this out. As always, website address is shutuppodcast.com. Email address, because I would love to hear your feedback, shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. If your email starts with a word like, you fucking Kendrick Glazer, I'm not going to read it. I might read it for entertainment value, because you might give me stage material, but I warned you, this podcast was not for you. You and Whitey. All right. A reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I'm trying to say that with a Haitian accent, with a strong Haitian, ignorant Haitian accent. All right. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say, yes, the big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode is rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Fuck you too. All right. Okay. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!